Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is, let's talk about it, mental health in multifamily. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kendra Butterfield, Vice President of Elevation Real Estate and Management, and John Sons, Director of Training and Marketing Strategies with Burlington Capital Properties. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. Thank you. Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, so this is a topic, and full disclosure, you know, John, you and I spoke 2 years ago at Apartmentalize, because I actually sat in on a session that you were on the panel of and wanted to talk about it. It's taken us a while to get to this point, but I'm glad we're finally doing it. Nothing has changed. Mental health has become even more of an issue in that time. But let's talk a little bit about why mental health is an issue in multifamily. What's causing it? And is it something that has always been there? And for some reason now the spotlight is becoming more prevalent.
Well, you know, thank you for having us. I thank you for letting us talk about this. It's just really important that we do talk about it. And, you know, to answer your question, I like to tell just quickly, I am a mental health patient. I've struggled for many years with my own mental health challenges, and I'm not afraid to talk about that. I'm not afraid to admit that. I think you heard me say that when you heard me speak a couple of years ago. But, you know, I've been in the business, gosh, I've lost track, 36 years.
Wow.
And this, you know, the apartment industry has always been a little stressful, right? The things we go through, the things we see, the things we have to deal with. And it finally just dawned on me that we need to make an effort to focus on this. And when I was asked to join the operations committee a few years ago, I kept bringing up mental health. And then finally, I just made the push for a mental health subcommittee. And that mental health subcommittee, that working subcommittee has really produced the things that you see us doing today, you know, the session you saw me talk about. It's really put a focus on it. And Paul, once we put a focus on it, I think we were all, I don't want to say surprised. We recognized the desire, the appetite for people to have us talk about this. So, you know, it's always been a stressful industry, and now that we've really focused some light on it, we've started talking about it, we realize the need to talk about it even more.
And Kendra, you know, one of the things that I hear repeatedly is that the pandemic caused a lot of issues to come to light that people really weren't thinking about. Do you think that contributed in any way to creating, you know, the mental health issues that we're dealing with now?
I would say so. I just want to re-echo what John said. You know, multifamily has not just become a stressful industry overnight. Mm-hmm. But I think that pandemic really opened up people's eyes to how maybe unhealthy they really were at work, or how that work-life balance, finding that brought all of that. That's really where we get our, you know, with that big push we heard for work-life balance was a result of understanding what we could do during the pandemic by having a work-life balance. And as we've come back to the offices and stuff, I really think that that's why there was also a push, because people were like, hey, you know, we had all these mental health programs, you know, given to us during the pandemic. We had resources available that were being pushed, and that kind of, you know, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, but, and, you know, I feel like that kind of petered off, as far as like the focuses from different companies and stuff on that. But, you know, to say that the pandemic brought that to light, I would say it brought it to light in our industry a lot more in a short amount of time, because really it's only been in the last 3 years. So to bring that awareness in such a short amount of time, and then to have just in the last 3 years, the accomplishments that, you know, John and the subcommittee have created, I think were a result of that focus.
Yeah, John, I want to ask you that, because you'd said that multifamily is stressful, which it is. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot from people I speak to in the industry, you know, with all of the quiet quitting and the great resignation and all the openings that there are, you know, if you have a company that's a multifamily company that has positions for 6 regional managers and there's only 4 that have positions filled, somebody's taking up that slack. And that is definitely, I would think, creating a lot of stress on the people that are trying to do that work. Is that something you're seeing?
Well, yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up, Paul, because, you know, we've now got our 3rd National Apartment Association Mental Health, Mental Wellbeing Survey under our belt. And one of the things that we see, I mean, there's a lot of interesting information. We could be on here for days talking about the information that we get from that survey. But one of the things that we've noticed is our regional managers, our regional directors, are some of the most stressed out there. Yeah. You know, of course your on-site teams are. But the regional managers, and even something we found interesting this year, the corporate support services are also stressed out. And it was just a rather interesting finding, some of the comments that we had and the stress levels that we could take away from that survey. It was interesting how the different positions within our industry were affected.
We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. I want to ask you, Kendra, what what are some of the things that it kind of got you involved in mental health? Because I know, and we're going to talk about it later in the show, some of the initiatives that NAA is doing, and John, that you've been, you know, a great part of that happening. But what caused you to make this something that was important to you?
So, you know, I'm going to share the same way John did, which is, you know, I'm not afraid to say that I'm a mental health patient. I have personal experience, not just with myself, but with other family members that also experience mental health challenges. So for me, that's where my passion comes from, is from having those experiences. And then I was pulled into the operations committee, and they ask you, there's like different subcommittees or different areas of focus that you can go into, like the like sustainability housing and maintenance, or, you know, something like that. And the thing that stood out to me was the year that I was accepted into the operations committee, I believe was the 2nd year of the subcommittee. And the subcommittee was on there listed as just mental health. And I thought, you know, as much as this should be a focus in our industry, I didn't even realize that this was a thing, and I would love to join to see what it is that they're doing. And when I realized what John was chair that year, and when I came on and saw everything that they were doing and what they were trying to accomplish, it was like I found my people and my purpose. Like, I've been in this industry for a very long time, but, you know, when you're just looking for that right fit when you're volunteering, because I volunteer a lot for a lot of different things. But it wasn't until I met the subcommittee and understood what it was that we were trying to do for this industry where the passion came in, and how I got pulled into the mental health portion of NAA.
Okay. John, what do you want to add to that?
Well, you know, it's been just really heartwarming and encouraging to see the involvement. You know, we started that mental health subcommittee first year we had 6 people, then we went to 9, and then I think, Kendra, we're up to 13 now. And really,
13 this year.
Yeah, and the operations committee is only so big, so you only have so many people to draw from that committee to join the mental health subcommittee. And there's so many more people that do want to get involved. And just real quickly, you know, Paul, you said you and I met a couple of years ago and we tried talking. This thing exploded. So many people wanted to get involved and talk about it that it really kept us busy, and busy in a good way,
yeah,
in a needed way. So, it's just been great. These first 3 years of the subcommittee have just been wonderful, and we've helped a lot of people, and we'll talk about that as later in the show too.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to come back right after these messages with much more on this topic. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about costs. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Let's Talk About It. Mental health in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kendra Butterfield, Vice President, Elevation Real Estate and Management, and John Sons, Director of Training and Marketing Strategies with Burlington Capital Properties. Before we go back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, John, you know, this is something that you have really been critical in putting together through NAA with a subcommittee. Talk a little bit about that subcommittee and how it all came to be.
It was some persistence on my behalf, to be quite honest, to say the least. And for those that are listening that know me would say persistence was an understatement. But once we finally had the agreement from NAA to be able to make this mental health subcommittee, we're like, okay, we got this. It's important. Everybody recognizes this. Who's our audience? And that was super simple, right? Our audience was everybody in multifamily. Our on-site folks, our corporate support systems, our supplier partners, everybody in the multifamily industry was our audience, so that was easy. Then we're like, what are we going to focus on? What do we really need to make our priorities? And we came up with 3 priorities, and those are, let's talk about it. Let's make this conversation comfortable. It shouldn't be something that we're afraid to speak about or don't want to speak about or are uncomfortable speaking about. That's why, Paul, every time I do one of these sessions, you know, I appreciate you telling my name and my title and the company I'm with, but I want you to know I'm John, a mental health patient that's in the multifamily industry, and it's okay to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I started out the show that way. So making the conversation comfortable, our second talking point and the second focus we wanted to focus on was the mental health of our residents and the mental health of our on-site team members and how those intertwine with one another and how they impact each other and the things that we deal with on-site. How do those impact our mental well-being? And how does our mental well-being as on-site employees, how may that sometimes impact our residents? And then the third focus was how to deal with trauma, some traumatic, you know, how to deal with those traumatic events that we experience on site. And while that was almost 3 years ago, I have to tell you, those three focus points have not changed, and they've proved to be extremely critical in our efforts and what everything that we've accomplished. And so we hold true to those three focus points, and it's paying off. And I say that because it's what people need, and they're excited that we're doing this. It's a hardworking subcommittee. I want to say this just real quick. That subcommittee, while I was persistent to get it started, no one person could do this alone. And I would argue with anybody that this is the hardest working, at least one of the hardest working subcommittees that NAA has out there. It's a lot of hardworking and passionate and devoted people that make all this happen.
Yeah, Kendra, I want you to expand a little bit on John's second focus, the second point about residents, operating properties as you've done for years. How does that all fold in together? Mental health of the residents as well as the mental health of the employees on site.
Oh, wow. Well, isn't that an exciting topic? Because as somebody who originally started on site, I get that whole experience of living the traumatic experiences of whether it be something that happens environmental, a traumatic experience, or maybe it's when you find a resident who's passed away. You know, those are all events. We literally deal with where people live. And especially during the pandemic, at the height of that, when everyone was home, those on-site teams really took the brunt of all of that. So that mental health between the residents and those on-site teams are so intertwined because, you know, they could be having a bad day. They're coming in, they're yelling and screaming, and you may not know that they're going through something on their side. We're only getting those yelling and the screaming and the angry people, you know, and people with their own mental health, like as somebody who sat on site, again, going home, you're taking that home with you. Some people are able to disconnect, but there's still a little part of you. You may have had an eviction that day. An eviction could be a traumatic experience because of your empathy. So all of that intertwines with those on-site teams and property managers and maintenance because they are, you know, working. I don't want to say dealing with, that's a terrible way of phrasing that, but they are working with these people on a daily basis. So, you know, again, we're going to say mental health is health, just like anything else. And all of that it comes together. So it's so important for our on-site teams to have a plan of action, maybe a self-care plan or something that protects them, their boundaries, whatever that might be. That's really where the mental health portion of the on-site teams comes in and why it's probably important. We'll probably talk about this later in the show as well, but the mental health first aid program and how that actually can change your view and how it can actually help not only corporate and HR departments help their own teams, but to be able to train their teams to help their residents as well. Because, you know, we all live together, so we might as well make it the best the best experience as possible, right?
Yeah. John, we've got a little over 3 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to ask you, because you've been involved with this since day one, and of course we're saying let's talk about it, and both you and Kendra have put yourselves out front, as you know, but I've got things that I've dealt with and I'm dealing with. How much pushback have you gotten from industry people or not just not wanting to kind of keep it swept under the rug, not to bring it out? Are you having an easier time as the time goes on with getting people to share and to want to be a part of it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Paul, and I appreciate you asking. You know, when we first started this, when I first threw the idea to NAA, they came back to me and said, can we call it something besides a mental health subcommittee? And I said, well, we probably could, but then our first topic as a subcommittee needs to be, why do we not want to
call it
for what it is?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And if there is anybody that's uncomfortable with that, there's usually a reason why. They probably need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something going on in their life or something that they've seen in their life that they need to talk about. So there's been no pushback. Actually, to the contrary, you know, last year I had the honor of presenting 3 different times to the NAA Board of Directors, was welcomed with open arms all 3 times. And each time we had upper-level executives throughout our industry, C-suiters, that wanted to be a part of this conversation. So I don't think there has been any pushback. If there is pushback, it's probably simply because someone's not comfortable. And isn't that, at the end of the day, why we're doing this? We want everybody to be comfortable talking about it.
Exactly.
And that's why we've been so successful in the initiatives and the things that we've been able to accomplish.
All right, well, we are going to break it here. We are going to come back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is, let's talk about it, mental health in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kendra Butterfield, Vice President of Elevation Real Estate and Management, and John Sons, Director of Training and Marketing Strategies with Burlington Capital Properties. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, John, we've talked a lot about the subcommittee for mental health at for NAA. And I know that it's been around for a very short while, but you accomplished a lot in that period of time. Tell us some of the things that you've accomplished and what's happening with it, with those things.
Well, yeah, you know, like I said, this subcommittee is filled with, and it's a growing subcommittee, it's filled with a lot of passionate people, motivated people, hardworking volunteers. And last year, Kendra, last year, I believe the subcommittee alone produced 20-some odd deliverables. Mm-hmm. That was basically 20 projects that we completed last year. Is that, aren't I correct with that? It was over
20. It was 22.
22, okay. So that's a lot of hard work,
yeah.
Paul, by a lot of people. And so some of the things that we've done, of course, we've got our third survey under our belt now, and I was super proud at Apartmentalize this year, a couple of weeks ago, when now we're seeing trends. We've got trending information, right, because we've got three of those surveys under our belt. And by the way, that survey was born as a result of a breakfast meeting I had with Joe Bailey with Swift Money, and they worked really hard on that survey. And so we were getting those results, and we saw things that needed to be done, and we focused on these deliverables. We came up with these projects, and so we've got the survey. We've had two now mental health first aid awareness weeks. We're super excited about that. The first one was 4 days of webinars. This year's was 4 days of webinars, plus that last day was a day of mental health action, doing something good for yourself and your teams as it relates to mental health. Super excited about that. The relationship that we've now built, NAA has built with the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, that has just been a great partnership. They brought us a lot of insight, a lot of education. We now have 20 NAA mental health first aiders?
28
NAA mental health first aiders. Those are folks that are in our industry that were trained. They're certified mental health first aid providers, trained and certified by the National Council. And then there are 13 NAA mental health first aid instructors, meaning we now have 13 industry volunteers and experts that are trained to train mental health first aid within our industry, and you've actually got two of those 13 on the show with you today. That's Kendra and myself. We're super excited about that. But the most exciting thing, Paul, I'm getting goosebumps before I even tell you this, is we know of at least two lives that have been saved as a result of our NAA mental health first aiders applying what they've learned. And how do you put, how do you put a price tag as it relates to money or time on knowing you've saved your efforts, mm-hmm. the team's efforts, have saved those individuals? Mm. It's just quite remarkable. So is there more work to do? Absolutely. But we're all super proud and thankful for the work that we've done.
Oh, that's fantastic. and to be able to quantify, you know, those types of results is amazing. I want to ask, and I'll open it to both of you, since you're both instructors, if a company, you know, located in Nebraska somewhere or whatever, a multifamily company, is interested in having training for their employees, is that something that the instructors provide?
Yes, it is. Yeah. We actually now, NAA now has all of the instructors listed on their website, and there is a contact form. And if you are listening to today's show, as John had mentioned earlier, John and I are also both instructors, and really you can either reach out to us through the NAA contact form, or most of us can be found on LinkedIn. John, was there anywhere else that's listed that I can't think of?
Yeah, no, the NAA website, and before I forget, and I know I will, those survey results that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. There's a white paper, and those survey results are also found on the NAA website. But no, you can find a list of those mental health first aid instructors, Paul, on the NAA website. And here's the cool thing about that first group of trainers, and by the way, we're in the process of putting together our second group of individuals to be trained. That was such a diverse group of people. Positions, placement throughout the country. So there are NAA mental health first aid instructors probably somewhere close to you, wherever you are in the country. And many of us have opened ourselves up to be available for travel. I know my company supports me traveling and teaching this. And, you know, Kinder the same way. Many of us are able to travel to wherever you are. Now, there is a cost associated with it because mm-hmm. this is a national council certification. And so there's a cost for materials, and we can certainly go over that with folks when they contact us. But that was another thing. We wanted to make sure that this was available to anybody and everybody. And it is deep subject matter. It is pretty mm-hmm. intense. But like I said, we know of two lives that have been saved, so you have to go over that crucial information to understand the role of a first aider. We're not mental health care providers. We're first aiders, which means we assess and help you find the resources that you need to get the help that you need. We're there just to provide that first aid.
So we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment. Let me ask you this, John. Kind of take me through a hypothetical situation. And, you know, I've got a company. What would cause me to reach out because I'm a owner or manager or leader of a multifamily company? What would cause me to reach out to get in touch with you guys and to have an instructor come, you know, walk me through those steps?
So why would you want to do that?
Yeah. What would be their cost?
Well, you know, I just want to tell a very – I'm going to keep this story just super quick.
Sure.
My partner's in the industry, and he came home the other day. And this is one of many stories that can be told throughout our industry, throughout the country, on a daily basis, unfortunately. He came home the other day, and the look on his face was just one that I really have never seen. And I asked him what happened, and one of his residents had died in the parking garage, had slipped and fell and hit their head on the concrete and bled out. And I hate to be so gruesome with that story, but – that's something he'll never unsee, mm-hmm. right? He was there. He was there with that resident that was passing away in front of him, the other residents that witnessed it. And I saw that. So, you know, let's think about all the things that our employees go through on a daily basis. And mm-hmm. I know that NAA had recently ran a survey on one of the best places to work, or the best places to work in our industry across the country. And to me, to be qualified as a best place, a best employer, you have to care about your employees. And that is every part of your employees, especially their mental health, because they do go through so much, and we depend on them to do so much, right? So mm-hmm. why wouldn't we want to take care of their mental health so they can be top performers? And I got to tell you, we've talked about the turnover. You talked briefly about the turnover, the shortages of staff, and things of that nature. Don't employees want to stay where they know that they're cared about?
Mm-hmm.
And mental health is one of those subjects that we've also talked about today that can be uncomfortable for some. We're trying to make it a comfortable conversation. So what better way to show your employees that you care than to be able to provide mental health topics and conversations and education? And the more education you can get out there, the better. And it helps both sides. You know, we talked about those mental health first aiders. You may be a mental health first aider that's helping someone that's struggling. I have to tell you, while that can be a little stressful in the moment, because I've applied my mental health first aid techniques since I've been trained, you come away with a sense of satisfaction knowing that you helped someone in a moment of need or possibly crisis. So I don't know how better to tell you why you would do it than the story I just told you.
Okay. Well, I got a couple more questions, but I want to give everybody a chance to answer them. So we're coming up on a break. We are going to be back right after these messages here with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and very timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is, let's talk about it, mental health in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kendra Butterfield, Vice President of Elevation Real Estate and Management, and John Sons, Director of Training and Marketing Strategies with Burlington Capital Properties. Kendra, I saw you a week or so ago at Apartmentalize. You chased me down. You were riding a little cart because you had a kind of an unfortunate injury while you were at Apartmentalize at I think Atlanta Braves game you mentioned. During the break, you mentioned that you actually were able to use some of your training in mental health at the airport when you were leaving Apartmentalize. Tell our listeners that story.
Yes. So, you know, this is just to point out that when John and I are talking about mental health first aid and instructors, this program is not specific to our industry. All we're doing is we're trying to create instructors who have an interest in this industry and can train mental health first aid with those examples. But it really teaches you for real world experiences, which at the airport on that day that I was leaving, the desk clerk with the microphone who announces the flights and boarding, I actually was in a wheelchair because of my injury, and they pushed me up to the front of the line, and I was sitting there. It was just her and I, and I won't say her name, but we were talking, and I said, "Hey," I said, "how are you today?" And she looked at me very confused, and she was like, "Do you mean that?" And I was like, I don't know, something in the back of my head was like, that's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
That something was wrong, and because in the United States, believe it or not, we learn in mental health first aid that we use that as a greeting, asking someone how they are instead of actually asking them with the intent to listen with empathy and to see how they really are feeling. So I immediately told her, I said, "Yes, of course, I mean it. I'm just sitting here." I was like, "How are you today?" And she crouched near my wheelchair and she started bawling.
Mm.
And she said, "My dog of, I think the dog was close to like 18 years old. It was a husky, had passed away at 3:30 that morning. This was at 6 o'clock a.m. that I was talking with her. So this is just 2.5 hours later. And I sat with her and talked and just let her talk. And she just kept talking to me. And then she went into detail about how they had kept the dog alive and why, because her son was had been diagnosed with type 2 bipolar disorder, and this was his emotional support animal, and they had gone through thousands of dollars keeping the dog alive. And so she was just going through something. Her son was currently in the hospital, and so he couldn't be there when his dog had passed due to his illness. And so she was just, how she made it to work that day, I don't know how, but I just sat there and was able to comfort her in a time that she needed. And then she just looked at me and was like, "I don't know why I felt so easy talking to you." And I'm just going to say it probably has something to do with the fact that I was just listening. I wasn't listening with the intent to reply. So I actually got to be in that moment with her and just be that ear. And then somebody else actually walked up to us from that had been departmentalized, and we were talking about my session, and they had asked what I had been speaking about. And I told them it was specifically about the mental health subcommittee and all of the programs and the resources we had, and how I was a mental health first aid instructor and about mental health first aid. And this woman fell to her knees and grabbed me and was like, "I don't know what you believe in," she was, "but all I know is that fate put you in my way today to be here to help me." She was like, "How can you help me?" And so I sat with her for another 5 or 10 minutes, and we went through, all the different resources that were available to her. So I told her about the mental health first aid program and where she could be certified. And she actually told me she was going to go home that night and take that class, so that way she was better prepared to help her son in the future.
Mm.
And that was just so rewarding.
Oh my gosh.
To be able to help somebody like that, who wasn't even in our industry, but that just shows like it can happen to anybody.
Yeah. And John, I mean, what Kendra just described, you know, just what that person was going through, that happens every day to people who work in the multifamily industry. Certain people are affected by different things just through their life experience, not necessarily having to do with what they're working on at work. What do you find?
Well, yeah, it's so interesting you say that, Paul, because I'm just sitting here thinking that, and I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, right after I was certified as a mental health first aider, we went to dinner with a couple of our friends that we'd known for a while, and did not expect at dinner that night that I would be practicing some of my mental health first aid training. And again, that was a friend that's not in the industry, but let's think about that for a second. Aren't all of our employees within multifamily, regardless of whether they're supplier partners or on-site team members or corporate-level employees or regionals or whatever, aren't they first and foremost human beings?
Absolutely.
That live a real life,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what stress or anxiety or things that are going on in their life, and then we expect them to come to work and perform at such optimum levels, don't we need to recognize and understand the humanity of each person? So in the last segment, when you ask, why is this training important, or why should a management company, why should they reach out for training? Why shouldn't they?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you this, just real quick. There's not a time that I have spoken about mental health anywhere, and I speak about it all across the country, and I'm going to be speaking at it about it here. You know, I'm speaking about it today. I will be next month and the month after. I've got things. There's not a time that I don't have people come up and thank me for talking about it. And a lot of times it's in tears because they're so happy and they feel that sense of relief.
Yeah. No, I can certainly see that. And just for clarification purposes, we've got about 2 minutes to 2.5 minutes left before I want to transition to something. But for clarification purposes, talk about the exactly how someone can become a mental health first aid instructor. What do they need to do?
Do you want to take that?
Well, to be a mental health first aid instructor, you actually have to go through, it's a three-day long course to become an instructor through the National Council for Mental Wellbeing. The instructors are the ones who can come out and train the mental health first aid portion to the teams. So think of the instructors, you know, that CPR certification. So your CPR instructor, that's what we are as instructors, but for mental health first aid.
And so then you would then in turn go to XYZ company if they wanted to and train a number of their employees to be first aiders in mental
Correct.
Health.
Correct.
Perfect.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And I'm sure that this is something that you're seeing on a national basis across the country with people, with companies that are interested in having this done. You said that there are 28, I believe, of instructors now. Is that correct?
There's 28 first aiders, but there's 13 instructors.
Yeah. So how do you plan on growing that? We got about a minute left.
So James Campbell is our NAA liaison there at NAA. And if you go to the NAA website, you can find a place, you can find where to register to become an instructor. And we're actively in the process of putting together that next class. And there's a lot of people that want to do that. And just real quick, the people that have taken the mental health first aid course, they take away a lot of useful information and their eyes have been opened to things they never realized. Or they realized but didn't know what to do with those. So, you can contact Kendra or myself or go to the NAA website.
All right, perfect. And by the way, Kendra, you're going to provide to me a list of resources which will be available to anybody that would like to have that list. Go on to our this episode page on the Multifamily Matters website, which is multifamilyradio.com. Go to this episode page and you'll be able to download a list of resources of people that you can contact and different resources that are available out there. I do want to transition and just, we've got about a few minutes left in this segment, but I always like to ask our guests how you got started in multifamily. And I know it's probably a long story. We only have a short period of time, but how you got started, what you're doing now, what your company's, where, you know, what your company focus is, and how can someone reach you? So, Kendra, why don't you start? Take about a minute and do that.
Okay. So I actually started in Las Vegas 22 years ago. I was working in wedding photography at a photography studio there, lost my job, and my husband's sister called me and was like, hey, I've got this leasing job. Do you want it? I said, sure. Didn't realize it was going to turn into a career. 22 years later, I am now vice president of Elevation Real Estate. We are mainly focused in third-party management, but we do HOA. We do single-family housing, commercial, residential. We do everything. We're also a brokerage, so we do buying and selling. The majority of our people are all real estate agents. And right now, our focus is on growth. We just we just merged another property management company with ours, and we just took on some more assets. So we now just hit over a little over 2,000 doors, and we are still growing. But that's what we do, and that's what our focus is right now, is growth.
How can someone reach you if they need to?
If they'd like to reach me, they can find me on LinkedIn. All of my contact information is there. You can also email me at Kendra@elevationrm.com, or you can reach me via phone at 479-385-6311 is my office line.
All right. John, we've got about a minute left. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So real quickly, I actually started as a part-time activities director while I was in the Air Force. I'm an Air Force veteran, Gulf War veteran, proud of that, and actually leased my first two apartments at a water volleyball game wearing just sunglasses and swimming trunks. That's a story for a different time.
Yeah.
But, yes, yeah, so now I've been with Burlington Capital for 22 years.
Wow.
And the director of training and marketing strategies. And we're a really diverse management company. We think of ourselves as a boutique-style management company. While we do own and manage a lot of our communities, we do a lot of third-party fee management. We do student. We do A-plus lease-ups. We do workforce housing, LIHTC, HUD, senior, build-to-rent, single-family rental communities, military, veterans housing, and actually we're in the process of converting our second old hospital into veterans housing. So we're super excited about that. So we're a pretty diverse company. If people want to reach me, they can find me on LinkedIn. They can also email me at jsons@burlingtoncapital.com or give me a call at 615-995-9696.
All right. That's a fantastic topic, something that needs to be discussed and talked about on a regular basis. I'd love to have you guys back again in the future. But we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.